Hi, and welcome to this episode of the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Rogers, Arkansas. I'm John Arnold, the pastor here, and today's message called Living the Restored Life is number six in our six-part series. So this is our wrap-up, and I hope it is a blessing to you. We're going to be looking at how God doesn't just kind of repair or heal what's broken, but that he actually brings renewal so that we can be a blessing to others. He just doesn't only bless us, but blesses us to bless others. So I want to invite you, as we do in worship, to take a nice big deep breath. And as you let it out, open your heart to join us in discovering what it means to live a fully restored life. All right, here we go.
A reading from the book of Zechariah in the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 13. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts, for there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall yield its fruit, the ground shall give its produce, and the skies shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Just as you have been a cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing on now in God's Word in the book of Philippians. I'll give you a moment to find that so you can follow along if you would like. This is the first chapter of Philippians, verses 3 through 10. Listen now for God's holy word spoken to you today. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Blessed be the hearing and the reading of God's word today. So we have been on this Reformation journey, this restoration journey, for 6 weeks. And I did not know that the concluding Sunday would be Reformation Sunday, which I think is kind of cool, because the Reformation was God's giant restoration project. So it's just perfect hand in hand. And as when I reflected on and I started thinking about restoration and the Reformation, I realized that to me the key takeaways and what I have been trying to drive home for 6 weeks now are at the heart of the Reformation. And specifically, I want to start with a very Reformation nerdy thing, and that is some Latin. So, if you don't know this, that means you have a life. But, all right. There's a famous Reformation phrase or sentence that I learned along the way, didn't actually date back to the time of Martin Luther's, and it is this: Ecclesia reformata, semper reformanda, secundum verbum dia. The church reformed, always being reformed according to the word of God. The church reformed, always being reformed according to the Word of God. This oftentimes gets either distorted or it gets truncated. It gets shortened in a way that's not helpful. The distortion that happens a lot of time and is spot on for one of the things I want to lift up to you and have been trying to lift up to you through this series is notice the voice of this. It says the church reformed, always being reformed. Now, some people will misquote this and they'll say the church of God, the church reformed, always reforming, as if it's something we're doing. As if the action and the focus is on us reforming. That is not at all in the spirit of that sentence. And it's the point I've been trying to drive home throughout this 6 weeks, is that renewal and restoration that sticks and is godly comes from God and by God's Spirit. The sort of foundational verse for this whole series has been, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit is how we experience renewal. And that's what that verse, that's what that saying, if you attribute it properly or relay it properly, is saying. The church is always reformed, but always being reformed by God. Always being reformed by God. It goes on to say, according to the Word of God. We're going to loop back to that in just a moment. Throughout this whole process, each week we looked at a different way God is reforming us. The first week, here's a little recap. The first week we looked at the theme of return to God and God will return to you. But here was the somewhat irony of that idea of return to God. God came to Zechariah and he said, return to me and I will return to you. But God had already made the move. God was already there. God had taken the action to come to Zechariah, to speak to him, to call him back. And that's true in our lives. When we feel that we need to return to God, there's nowhere to move. It's not about us going somewhere. It's not about moving so much as just being open to the fact that God is right here, right now. God never leaves us. Never leaves us. It's not about reaching as much as it is about just receiving what's right here, right now, in our midst. And it's God, again, who takes the initiative, takes the action. The second week, we looked at God exceeding our limits. That restoration is really true, deep, transformational reformation is when we are brought to the edges of who we are and what we are, and God steps in and does more than we could ask or imagine, was the phrase we learned from Ephesians. That God is far more capable. And I kind of challenged you to not just look at what you are capable of, but begin to pray for things that were beyond what you even imagined. We were talking, I think it was in a mission committee meeting, about budgets coming up. And you know what? A reasonable, and a prudent prayer about our budget would be to pray that we get to a balanced budget, that God would provide for our needs what we see our budget is. What we were talking about in mission committee is, and this is really an awesome prayer that we could be praying, probably should be praying, is being a 51-49 church. And what I mean by that is that our budget, 51% of our budget, the majority of our budget was going out in mission. And we might need a whole lot bigger budget to do that, you know? A 51% of it. That's a God-sized prayer. That's a God-sized ambition, a God-sized calling. So coming to God with requests that really we have to lean in faithfulness for God to be able to do that renewal. Then we looked at, and this is the one place where it looked almost like I was giving you a homework assignment where you had to do something about your restoration, and that was we focused on God calls us away from our old ways. But really that sermon was telling you to stop doing some things, right? It says get rid of the old broken patterns, stop doing the things that don't work, stop doing the things that are getting between you and God, so that you're basically emptying your cup of things that are toxic and icky and nasty you don't need in your cup, and your cup is emptied that you might receive a blessing from God and receive a living water. And so that, even then, when I said, all right, we're called to let go of those old things, it wasn't about us doing something per se. It was about us stop doing the things that get in the way so that the door is open for God to renew us. And the next week, very fittingly, we talked about God cleansing us. God cleansing us. And I loved, someone shared with me a week after I did that sermon, they really didn't like that sermon because it was all about having water and it cleansing us and refreshing us. And they were in a home with no water at the time. But they listened really closely because of that. But we looked at how God cleanses us, that we can't cleanse ourselves. We cannot renew ourselves, but God does that. And then last week, we looked at the theme of a God who fights for you, a God who defends you, a God who protects you. Where you have a battle, you have either an obstacle in front of you or an enemy behind you, and the only way out is to stand and allow God to fight the fight. We had a living example of this last week, and I didn't ask permission for this, so I may get in trouble afterwards, but this last week we lived this out of having to lean into God to fight the battle. Most of you know that my son's in the process of moving from Little Rock to Kansas City. And all through this process for the position he was applying for, he had been told he would not have to have a hearing test, which we were concerned about. We were concerned because from his childhood, had a lot of infections and problems with one ear. Hearing in that side is very compromised. We were very concerned about whether he might be able to pass that test. And they said, no problem. You don't have to take a test. You're coming from another department. You're already active in a position. It doesn't seem to be a problem. Fine. He was supposed to start tomorrow. And then last week, they called him in for a hearing test he wasn't supposed to take. And he failed the hearing test. And now we were a little bit in a panic scramble. Is that safe to say? It was not a happy moment. He's here this morning, so I can ask that. But it was not a happy moment. It was a scary moment because he was out of the position he had been in, had moved, had a new place, was expecting to start, and now didn't know if he'd be starting. I immediately jumped online. I emailed our elders and said, here's the situation. I need you to pray. I got in a men's group that I have of believers, and I sent something out to them. I'm like, here's the situation. You need to pray. Some of you I texted directly. I need you to pray, you know. And we started praying about it. And I thought, wow, the needle's moving because he got a call. And he found out the next guy in line to evaluate this said, that's okay. I'll pass him. But there's still more people it had to go through. And so we started to get some excitement about it. And then someone higher up said, no. You need to come in, get that ear clean, come in for another test. We weren't real excited about that because we know from experience that cleaning the ear is a good and a right thing to do, really doesn't change the function of that ear. So we were very concerned. So I doubled down in prayer. I pulled more people in prayer, and he called me, Matt called me the day he was getting ready to go for his test. He's like, I'm headed there now, and I'm like, okay, guys, you got to pray right now, right now, right now, you know, in real time, and I recorded a prayer and sent Matthew prayer because I'm like, it's one thing to hear someone say, I'll pray for you. It's another thing to hear someone pray for you, to hear that prayer. So I recorded a prayer. I sent it to him. I got on the phone with one of my friends who's a phenomenal prayer warrior. And we prayed right then and there for him. Matt called me a couple hours later, and he passed the test. The interesting thing is, nothing had changed about his hearing. What actually transpired was, from what we can tell, someone looked at the policies more closely and realized though this one ear was bad, his other ear was within an acceptable range that allowed him, by their standards, to take a position. Absolutely amazing. We got to see and witness God at work in a very real-time way. Now, the hard thing in that was, and it always is, when we are in a place of restoration, where things are being rebuilt like a new life, or we're stepping out of something old into something new, there are always obstacles. There are always things that we don't plan on happening. And many times, like this situation, much of it is outside of our control. There was nothing we could do other than pray, and there's nothing better we could do than pray. And where my heart was the psalmist, a psalm text that had come up last week as I was preparing for the sermon, where the psalmist says, "Contend for me, O Lord." And that was my prayer. I just said, "Contend for Matt right now, O Lord. This is beyond our control." Now, why? You know, I'm sure that if we looked at those tests look no different. Why did we get a no the first time? I don't really know. But I trust God that it's what we needed to hear, because there's a lot of things that happen when things don't go, renewal doesn't go the way we expect. Adversity is an opportunity for us to see and understand the character of God. 100%. When we face adversity and we get to our edge, that's when we really learn about God's faithfulness. That's when we really learn that God is sovereign. God has the situation under control, even if it doesn't play out the way we expect. There are no telling how many ripples happened that were very good things because of that first failed test that we'll never see or understand or know. Maybe it provided a gap that Matt needed very clearly that we couldn't see. Maybe it was so we could stand here today and tell the story of how God moves. I was reminded of, there's a story in the New Testament where these people come to Jesus, and there's a blind man, and they're like, "Jesus, why is this guy blind? Who sinned, him or his parents?" That's what they wanted to know. And he's like, "That doesn't have anything to do with that." And he healed the man, and he said, "He was born blind that you might see the power of God." He healed him so that they could see the power of God. He endured that blindness for those years, but then was relieved of that blindness, healed of that blindness, so people could see the glory of God. And one thing I want you to take away out of this is, it's not just yielding to God. Living a life of restoration is not just yielding to God every single moment, but that phrase that I shared from you a moment ago from the Reformation, which actually came along, like a little piece of trivia, didn't come out of Martin Luther's years. It came 150 years later in the Dutch Reformation. But that phrase says, we're being reformed by the Word of God. We're being reformed by the Word of God. And I think part of why this restoration journey has been so powerful, if you have been in that journey, is that every day, the devotional guide put you in the presence of God's word and gave you pause to reflect on it. We got on the phone Tuesday night with a couple people to get feedback. And when I asked what has been the impact, what has happened for you, how would you describe your journey? Both people said healing. And one person said, "I've had healing from grief they have been carrying for 15 years. And they said, for the first time in 15 years, I can genuinely say I have joy and I have peace. I have peace and I have joy. And my response was, the word of God is a powerful thing. Because really all she did was she kept going to the word of God and being open to God. Going to the word of God, being open to the word of God, and it will reform you. And last but not least, and this brings us all the way around to our text. You're like, John, have you forgotten about the Bible verses we read this morning? This brings us all the way back around to our text. If you look at Zechariah, and our whole story we've been following has been following Zechariah's story, the people of Israel in this place of having to have their lives rebuilt. What we find in today's passage says, you once were a curse among the nations, now you are a blessing. You once were a curse, you now are a blessing. They were a barren vine, and now they are going to bear fruit. We are renewed not just so we can go, woohoo, look how good my life is now, but God blesses us to be a blessing. That's the point of restoration. Every time God restores us, he restores us that we might be a blessing to the people around us. It's not something we should hoard. It's not something we should hold on to for ourselves. Yes, celebrate it. Honor God for it. The glory needs to go to God for that. I really struggled with which verse to pick for this last sermon because there are three places in Zechariah where he'll explain what's going to happen. Like, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to have this restoration. And he explains what's going to be. And then he says, so that others will know I sent you. That the restoration is so that people would see the glory and the wonder and the goodness of God. The glory and the wonder of goodness of God. So if you have been blessed, I'll wrap up with a very succinct way to respond to that. There's a passage in Romans that tells us that people knew God, and yet though they knew them, they neither honored God nor gave him thanks, and he gave them over to the darkness of their minds and futile thinking. And I find within that there are three ways when we are blessed with restoration that we need to respond. The first is it says they knew God, but they neither honored nor thanked God. We need to do thanks. Most of us are pretty good at thanks. God does something good, we go, thank you, God. Hopefully we do, but we need to return thanks. It was one of the first things I said to Matt was, you need to praise God. If anything else, just go to worship. I didn't know it would be here. But you need to thank God. And then you need to honor God. And the way we honor a gift is we use it in a good manner. You know, if I give you something and you say thank you, and you don't do anything with it, that doesn't feel very good. How many times does God do something for us and we thank God, but we fail to live into the blessing and honor it? One is we're obedient with whatever that blessing is. And then lastly, we honor God by telling the story of what God's done. We give witness to what God's done. So that's the heart of the restored life. It is opening ourselves to receiving renewal by God, exposing ourselves again to the word again and again and being open to God's direction through the word, and then living a life of gratitude and obedience and witness. Gratitude, obedience, and witness. Gratitude, obedience, and witness. You will never go wrong with that. You will never go wrong with responding to the blessing that way. But praise be to God that we have a God who, he loves us exactly as we are right now. And praise be to God, he loves us too much to leave us that way. You know, he loves us right where we are and too much to leave us that way. And he fills the gaps because we cannot do it on our own. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for joining us for today's message. If it was a blessing to you, I want to encourage you to like, comment, share all the things. That kind of stirs up the algorithm so that more people get God's good news online. And also, if you want to know more about First Presbyterian Church or you would like to support
our online ministry. Go to fpcrogers.com and support us. Press the giving link. You'll find up in the navigation. Again, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. If you have any questions about the restoration journey, just place them in the comments below, and I promise to get back to you as soon as I can. Bye now, and have a blessed week.